And More Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas. And with me tonight is my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, who is the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we want to welcome you to our program. We have a good program for you tonight. We're going to consider the religion of Islam and the Muslim people that go along with the Islamic religion. And one of the reasons we want to talk about this is that since 9/11, the United States of America has become very aware of the Muslim population. The religion of Islam has made headlines and prompted many debates among many people. 3,000 people died that day, and horror struck the nation. And one thing that we need to know about the Islamic religion is this: they do not believe in the deity of Christ. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, nor that he came in the flesh as God. And if you have your Bibles, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This is what the Bible has to say about someone that does not believe in the deity of Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." Well, why would you think that this study is important? Well, because in the past 50 years, Islam, the religion of Islam, has grown by 500%. 1.5 billion Muslims, according to the latest census. And there are almost 9 million Muslims in America today. And since 9/11, 1.5 million Muslims have been admitted into this United States of America. Currently, 29.9% of the world is of a Christian faith, and 19.2% is Muslim. By 2025, the prediction is that 25% will be of the Christian faith and 30% will be Muslim. Now, Islam is a religion that is anti-Christian. That means it's anti-Christ, just like the Bible said it was. And its teachings are contrary to the Bible and is blasphemous towards Jesus. Islam's desire is to take over the world, and the religion of Islam should cause us much fear. Now, Tom, I want you to tell the people, before we get into this study of Islam and the Muslims, tell the people who are our sponsors and where we're broadcasting from tonight.
We're airing tonight from KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose. Covers a large area all the way from Hamilton up to I-20 in Fort Worth. KTX 97.7 FM out of Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo. KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville. KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock. and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network .org. This is a internet radio, and this program will also be re-aired at 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. on Tuesday at this website. Our motto is, and as David mentioned a moment ago, you've heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. You can also watch us on Periscope. We're airing at this very moment on Periscope. And if you would like to have a reminder as to when we're coming on, if you'll search Tom Moore at Poppy Tutor, you'll be able to join in and get a notice as to when we're coming on. Also, we have a Twitter page, and if you've got any questions, you can type in the hashtag #AskHarrisAndMoore, and we will be able to have conversation with you that way as well. We also have a web page, www.harrisandmoore.org, where there are archived radio programs. Our webmaster has done a great job with this. They're also organized according to topic. Mm-hmm. So if you have a topic that you're interested in, you can also check that out. And also there is an email address, questions@harrisonmoore.org. And that will go to David's inbox and also to my inbox. Also, there is a chat room. If you'd like to get in the discussion with it on the chat room, you can go to the Gospel Radio Network and click on the chat room and sign in, and you can be involved that way as well. But we would rather you call in. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. David just mentioned a moment ago how that we're living in a day when Islam, the Muslim religion, ought to cause us a great deal of fear. Mm-hmm. Now, David, tell us why you think that Islam should be very fearful to the people of the United States.
Well, Islam uses as its, what, for lack of a better word, their Bible, their guide, their religious instruction. They use the Quran. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into some of the tenets of that Quran in just a moment ago. But basically, Islam is a religion that is based upon fear, force, and violence. Mm-hmm. And when we look at these things, we see that the people that are causing these atrocities, before 9/11, very few people were concerned about the Islamic religion and the Muslims. But then we lost 3,000 people on that day, and it causes us to start to pay attention. And then since that time, time after time after time, we see these terrorist attacks take place all over the world. And now it's come home on several different occasions here in the United States of America. And it is for this reason, in the name of religion, these terrorist attacks are taking place.
You know, they always refer to these Muslims, as radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a problem with that terminology, David.
As do I.
Radical Muslims. Well, in reality, David, these Muslims who are doing these things, they're following the teachings of the Quran. And in that makes them a faithful Muslim, mm-hmm. not a radical Muslim. Now, there's going to be a lot of people, I'm sure, are going to disagree, but you can disagree all you want. These people who are doing these bombings and killing, they're following what they believe the Quran teaches, and we're going to show you here in a little while tonight exactly where they're getting this idea.
Right. And by the way, this is a live call-in talk show. We want to give this number out just as often as we possibly can, because we want to hear your comments and your questions on this topic. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, Tom, we mentioned what happened on 9/11 in 2001, and that takes us back several years, but we just have some highlights to hit because we don't have time to mention all of the things that have happened since 2001. Maybe you can bring us up to date as to some of the things that people are pretty familiar with that have taken place here on the United States soil in the name of Allah.
Well, you know, everybody remembers in November the 5th of 2009, the Fort Hood shooting. Nadal Malik Hassan, he was one who was involved in the killing of 13 people and yelling out the jihad battle cry. Now, David, I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, if you'll give us your first name and your comment and question, please.
Yeah, it's Mike.
Mike, what's on your mind, Mike?
Well, the thing is, I'm a true Christian to the heart, but in that opening statement, I think you're taking that Bible verse out of context because, you know, what about the Jews? But the Bible says that the Jews are His chosen people. They don't believe in Christ.
Yes. And what's your problem with that?
My problem with that is you're trying to put the... As Christians, we're not to put fear of people. We're to bring people together.
So we ought not to be afraid of the Islamic people who are bombing and killing people?
That's the radicals. If you want to, those are people that are not with the Quran.
Well, I beg to differ with you on that. Those are people who are following the Quran, and we're going to talk about some of the teachings of the Quran tonight that teaches they are to kill and to maim and destroy anyone who is not a Muslim. That's taught in the Quran.
You've got the ISIS and Al-Qaeda blowing up synagogues, their own people.
Well, they're blowing up the ones that aren't faithful, the ones that are not paying attention to what the Quran says.
And that's another thing that the Quran does teach, is even a Muslim who's not living according to Muslim law can also be killed. And you know, you're talking about the Antichrist. Is that what you were referring to the verse a while ago?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there is not any one single Antichrist. Anyone who denies Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus as God, the Bible says is an Antichrist. So I don't care if you're Jew or Muslim or American or Puerto Rican. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Bible says you are an Antichrist.
Yeah, Antichrist being non-Christian.
Antichrist, against Christ, right? Yeah. And so what's
anti is non.
It's against.
Yeah, anti is against Christ. And anyone who is against Christ, does not believe in the Christ, is an Antichrist. That's what the text clearly says.
Well, I just don't believe in putting fear out there. I believe in bringing people together. That, you know, that's the whole entire problem.
Well,
we're to reach out our hand, not to exclude.
Well, you know, fear is a pretty valuable tool to have, isn't it?
Yeah, God says fear not.
But also, it also talks about we need to fear as well. You know, so you're saying that we ought not to say anything against the ISIS or ISIL or however they want to...
I'm totally against ISIS. I serve the U.S. military.
Okay. So that would be fear, wouldn't it?
You know, yeah, but if you look in the Quran, first of all, the Quran does... They don't believe that Christ was the Messiah, but they do believe in Jesus Christ, that he was a prophet.
A prophet, but not deity.
There's also in there Mother Mary.
Yeah, and they also teach false doctrine about that as well. They're teaching that Christ is not deity, that he is just a prophet. As a matter of fact, they put Muhammad above Christ.
Yeah,
If that's not...
They just look at Muhammad as a prophet.
As a prophet superior to Christ. We're going to point some of those things out here in a little while, and we're also going to see the vast difference between Muhammad and the Christ. We're going to point out that the Muslim religion is not really a religion of peace at all, but it's a religion of fear. It's a religion of destruction. It's a religion, if you don't obey our commandments, if you don't come over to Islamic faith, then we have the right to kill you. That is what the Quran says. And again, we're going to point that out very clearly later in this program.
Yeah, well, I'll listen to the program and I'll weigh it against the Bible.
Okay, sounds great. Appreciate
it. Thank you for calling, Mike. Appreciate your comments.
You know, I understand where Mike's coming from. You know, we want to be a people of peace, so we want to help people come to Christianity and things of that nature. But at the same time, we have to beware. You know, the Bible talks about even beware of the devil. He is like a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. And so there are things that we need to beware of and be fearful of. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
It's George.
George?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, in regards to Mike's comments about not having fear, as a veteran, United States Air Force serving in 1987, being out in the desert and looking at Afghanistanians and Iranians dead in the eye and not having any fear is a crock. Mm-hmm. I was scared out of my boots. Let me tell you. Until you've been there and until you've seen what these kids are trained to do and women are trained to just give up their life for Allah, you can't tell me you don't have fear against Islams and Muslims, because here's the thing. We don't know how they're trained and what they're coming here to America for.
Mm-hmm.
They might be trying to sneak in and have political asylum or war asylum. But you know what? It happened in California.
You know, and also...
Five years before that lady and that husband of hers blew up or shot up those people in that residence, in that citizens, older citizens, whatever it was. It was a, I guess it was like a rehab building. She had posted on Facebook that Allah was, she was going to do things for Allah, and that she had they looked on Facebook 5 years ago, they would have known what she would have been up to.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me that you can't be fearful of people that are coming into the United States from those countries, because you have no clue until you've been there.
Exactly. And, you know, also, George, the Quran also teaches that it is acceptable for a Muslim to lie if it's going to be to help the cause of Allah. And so that's another thing that makes me fearful. How many people are coming over here who they say, and I put in quotation marks, are not radical Muslims? How do we know if they're telling the truth or not, if in the Quran it's permissible to lie?
I mean, and you're right. We don't know that. And how can you trust them when it's been proven over and over that they're the ones that are causing all this?
And, you know, you look around the world.
9-11. I mean, look at 9-11.
You know, we can look around the world and we can see a great number of countries who have not even allowed the Muslims to come in there. I was looking at some stuff that David and I had seen earlier about the countries that have banned Muslims. You know, Japan, for example, refuses Muslims to live permanently in their country, and they cannot own any real estate. And they're just nation after nation where Muslims are not allowed in their country. And if they ever try to proselytize anyone, well, they're kicked out real quick. A lot of the world is seeing what America needs to see, that there is great danger in the Muslim religion for the United States of America.
Absolutely. And And look at the Christian, the Muslims that accepted Christ and were Christian. They were beheaded. They were raped in front. Women were raped in front of in the public. Kids were killed. And even Americans that were there to film and to even just to be that were there to help these Christian Muslims come across or get away from all that were being beheaded. Mm-hmm. And so, as a Christian, we're supposed to accept that. No,
that's
I'm sorry. I love Jesus, and I would. I'm a Jesus freak till the day I die. But when he says fear certain things, the devil, the enemy, mm-hmm. you betcha I'm going to fear him. I fear not because I have God with me. But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And you know what? When the day comes that I have to face another Muslim that's here to terrorize, I'm gonna give up my life. So everybody knows that I was a true Christian, and I took it for Jesus.
You know, also, we could insert the word...
You don't know.
We could insert the word cautious and caution in place of fear also, right? May not be
right,
necessarily being afraid, but we need to be cautious because I'm fearful for what might happen to my family. And so that plays a big part.
But does the word cautious fall under judgment? Would it be considered judgmental? Absolutely.
Well, the Bible tells us that we have the right to judge. You know, some people say, "Well, we can't judge." Well, that's pretty ridiculous. You know, how can you decide whether a person is a Christian or not without making a judgment, right?
Well, how are you going to choose to hang out with somebody who's doing the wrong thing all the time without judging?
That's right.
Let's just look at a passage of scripture here that gives us the authority to do so. He says in John chapter 7 and verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And that means to make your judgment according to the righteous words of God. And we are to know the difference between good and bad, and between light and dark, and between evil and that which is acceptable to God.
You know, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And when you look at what many or some of the Muslims have done in the name of Allah, the fruit shows exactly the kind of people they are, and therefore we ought to be fearful and also need to be careful about who we are allowing into our nation.
Well, George, we appreciate your call, and let us delve into the difference between the Muslim religion, Islam, and the Christian religion that was given to us by Jesus Christ himself. And there is a tremendous amount of difference between the two. And as we look at these two, we're going to see that one is based on love and the other one is based on fear.
Exactly. You know, when we think about we were going to talk about the Fort Hood shooting and various other things, but maybe we ought to bring it down to some recent times. We all remember the Boston bombing in 2013. Those were people of the Islamic faith.
And by the way, they were heavily vetted when they came in this country as being acceptable citizens, American citizens here.
Exactly. And as we were talking with George a moment ago, the happenings at San Bernardino mm-hmm. is also Muslim-based. And then, Dave, we're talking about the thing that really concerns me is all of these Syrian refugees. We're talking, David, about 10,000 Muslims. Now, in my research, I have found, and you have too, that over 90% of these 10,000 are Muslims.
That's conservatively.
And also, of those number, 1,300 are ISIS supporters. Now, they may say, well, that's only like 10%. What's the big deal? Well, you know, it only took two people to bomb the Boston Marathon. It only took two people to bomb San Bernardino.
Or to shoot it up.
Shoot it up. Or it only took 19 to make 9/11 come into play. So we see this is something that should be very concerning to us. Even if only 1% of that 1,300 of the ISIS supporters are making bombings and killings, there are going to be thousands of Americans killed. And that's why it's important for us to step back and be more cautious and careful about who we are allowing to come in to our nation.
Right. Well, I hope those of you out there that can would take your Bibles and get ready to turn to these passages, because we're going to go through a very quick comparison. We've only got an hour on this program. Sometimes I wish we had two or three. But we're going to make a quick comparison between Jesus and Christianity and Muhammad and Islam. And this comparison should sufficiently show which system is superior. One is spiritual, and the other one is based on physical, and it is earthly. One is advanced through a peaceful study of the Bible, and the other advocates war as a God-ordained way to evangelize. I think it's interesting to note that that Jesus taught that we are to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us, Tom.
Exactly.
In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, have you got that passage pulled up there?
It says, "You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless and curse not, do not do good and hate not, pray and despitefully, who, pray for them who despisefully use you and persecute you." Now, David, Jesus taught that we are to be a peaceful people, a loving people. I don't hate a person of a Muslim faith necessarily, unless they're doing that which is evil. But we are to be a loving people. But on the other hand, the Quran and the Muslim faith, the Islamic religion, teaches something totally different than what Jesus says about loving and blessing and praying for. Muhammad teaches something totally different, doesn't he?
Well, Muhammad, while speaking of the enemies of Islam, says, and this is in the Quran, and it's in chapter 4, or Surah 4, verse 90, it says, "Seize them and kill them wheresoever you find them." In Surah 7:3, it says, "Destroy them." In Surah 8:16, it says, "Slay them." And so these systems are not the same. The nature of the kingdom of Christ, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. We can look all the way back into Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 4. And there we have a very interesting thing that the Holy Spirit has to say through the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And so they are two very, very different systems. And the nature of the kingdom of Christ has been prophesied back there in the Old Testament. And the attitude and the demeanor of Jesus Christ is far different from the militaristic attitude of Muhammad.
Exactly right. And so when you just look at the religion of Islam and Christianity, you can't be any further apart in mentality than they are. And you know, the word of Christ does not advocate war. It does not advocate the abuse of men. Jesus never encouraged anyone to force another to accept anything. You know, the Bible teaches almost from the very beginning that man has the freedom to choose.
Mm-hmm.
God never forced any man. If you force, let's say you have your grandchildren, if they are forced to hug you, that's not much encouragement. That's not much of benefit to you from that. If they hug you willingly, there's where the reward is.
Right.
Well, how faithful can a person be if they are forced to be so?
Well, if the fear is big enough, and those who have been forced to be Muslims, if the fear is there, they're not going to run away from it unless they can find a way to run away too. Mm-hmm. But when we look at the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it's a spiritual kingdom. Jesus even said to Pilate in John chapter 18 and verse 36, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews." Well, now there's no doubt that Jesus wants us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's no doubt. But these individuals who adamantly refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we can't go any further than that.
That's right. But in the Muslim religion, they can. If they're not willing to accept Allah and Muhammad as the prophet, then you have every right, according to the Quran, to kill them on the spot. That is a religion of war. Christianity is a religion of peace. But you know, the comparison doesn't stop there, David. When you look at the personal morals of Jesus and Muhammad, there's quite a large difference in their morality. Muhammad was a fabricator and a deceiver. You know, a while ago, Mike mentioned that the Quran mentions Mary, the son of Jesus. Well, indeed, he did. But notice what it said, the Quran, in Surah 40, verse 6. It says, "And when Jesus, the son of Mary, said, 'O children of Israel, verily I am the apostle of God to you, verifying the law that was before me and giving you glad tidings of an apostle who shall come after me, whose name shall be Muhammad or Muhammad.'" And so here they're saying, the Quran is, that Jesus said that there was going to be a prophet after him and his name was going to be Muhammad.
But Jesus never spoke those words.
He never did.
This is straight from the Quran, Surah 46. And what this is a total fabrication of another religion trying to discredit Christianity altogether. And those individuals who earnestly believe in what the Quran says and the inerrant word of Muhammad here, they are believing now that based upon this, that Christianity is a farce.
You know, I keep thinking about some of the mentality in our world today, David, that we should not be afraid of or speak out against anything because we are a loving people. Well, just because we're a loving people and not a people of war does not mean that we cannot speak out against that which is evil and wrong. You know, our liberal media today, David, is great as trying to paint everything as not being all that bad and things of that nature, and we're losing sight of being honest with the scriptures and being careful with the scriptures and also pointing out what is indeed error. You know, we talked about, what does it say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world.
Try the spirits. Now, right. The only way that we can try the spirits is to test them.
Mm-hmm.
To test them. And based upon what we can read in the Quran, and based upon what we know in the Bible, we can see right away where the truth lies. And this is what we're after. Is the truth, and we've got to be able to look at the truth, because the truth is going to be able to show us some things that falsehood will never ever reveal to us. Now Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It'll make you free from error, but you got to know what the truth is.
Exactly. Now the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion, with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 55QA Bible. Tonight we're talking about Islam in light of the things that have been taking place here in recent days with the Syrian refugees that are coming into our nation. We don't know how many of them are of the ISIS persuasion. But David, even if just 1% of those 10,000 are, just think about the great damage they can do in the United States of America. And so we're talking about something that we need to be concerned about. And appreciate Mike calling in a moment ago and talking about how we ought not to be afraid. But I am afraid for my family and the children when there is such evil and darkness that are surrounding our world today from the likes of those who are teaching what the Quran teaches.
Well, you know, and George, I think, pointed out very, 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 very well for us as a veteran that was over there. He actually watched firsthand these individuals, the children that are trained up, the women that were trained up to give their life for Allah. When a person can be convinced to do that, to actually commit suicide in the name of Allah, in the name of a religion, and then call that good, what I see here being put forth is what Isaiah talks about in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, where he says, "Woe unto them that put light for dark and put sweet for or bitter for sweet and put good for evil. Woe unto them." And this is what is happening here. They are being convinced that evil is good in the name of Allah. And this is just not the way things work.
We have somebody here on the chat room, David, who said, "Those who believe Islam is a peaceful for religion do not know their history and do not understand or know their doctrines." You know, David, that's exactly right. This is not something new. This has been going on ever since of the inception of the Islamic religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been, for thousands of years, has been a religion of war and not a religion of peace. And anyone who's out there who says, well, Islam is a religion of peace, simply has not read the Quran.
Either that or he's a bald-faced liar.
Exactly.
Now, I tell you, I was a firm supporter of George W. Bush. Until he started trying to tell all the American people after 9/11, not to get up in a big ruckus here, because this Islam is a religion of peace. It is not, never has been, never will be.
Yeah, all you got to do is look into history and just follow their historical records, and you see it has never been a religion.
Right.
A peace.
Well, there's another comparison that we want to make with Christianity and Islam, and we'd like to compare the two based on moral purity. The relationship to women is one place we want to go.
You know, David, before we get into that,
okay,
I've always been amazed on how women can want to be a part of the Islamic faith
and the Sharia law
and be a part of killing for Allah in light of how a woman is treated according to the Quran. I've just never been able to understand that.
Well, it's baffling that women would want to leave the freedom and the liberties that we have here in the United States of America. Howbeit, many of them are abused as freedoms and liberties, but they would want to leave these freedoms and liberties and go into a Sharia law that is so restrictive that they can't show anything but their eyeballs, mm-hmm, as they walk down the street. But not only that, it's not just that they have to dress in a certain way and have to act in a certain way, but the way that they are treated is absolutely unbelievable that a woman would want to get herself mixed up into that thing.
You know, and it's amazing. Go ahead, Frank.
You know, the thing that you're talking about, one of the explanations, one of the understandings, this is what they were born into, and this is what they were taught, the women, from the time they were little bitty girls. This is what they think it is supposed to be like. And while we look at it from our perspective and see how terribly they're treated, they're being treated as they expected to be treated. And it's not limited just to the Islamic or Muslim religion. There are other religions that treat women almost as bad, even in our own country. And to mention simply another one, a Mormon. A Mormon woman can't go to heaven unless her husband does. Mm-hmm. She is totally limited to whatever her husband does for her. And so these people are born and reared with a certain expectation. And when that expectation is brought to bear on them, they don't see it as being unexpected or bad. That's what they expected to happen. But that doesn't keep it from being a very terrible thing.
Exactly. And, you know, and you can be raised a certain way, but it's still wrong.
Right.
And sometimes we need to look past. You know, people say, well, that's the way my grandpappy raised me. That's the way I'm going to be. Well, does that make it right just because grandpappy said? You can just look. And what we're talking about here is the difference between the Christian religion and how they treat women and the Muslim religion and how they treat women. We
exactly.
see a vast difference between the two.
Right. And the Islamic religion, by the way, is just extremely abusive to women.
Mm-hmm.
They're given virtually no rights. They're used as sexual objects and slaves. And Muhammad's revelation allow Muslim men to have up to 4 wives at once, and also they can have as many slave girls as they can afford. Now, how can there be a love relationship in a situation such as that? When you have 4 wives and as many slave girls for your sexual pleasure that you desire, what does that do to the woman that you're married to?
It's certainly not a religion of love. It's not a religion of peace when you treat women as though they were I think they probably would treat their own dog better than they would their own wife at times.
Well, I would like to encourage someone out there that is listening that is a woman. Would you please call in and tell us how that you could accept such a treatment as this of being one of 4 wives, not counting all of the sexual slaves that are allowed to be in that bunch by purchase power. And just tell us how the husband and wife relationship would look to you as a wife, as one of the 4.
Now, when we think about Muhammad's relationship with women and how he said it was okay for a Muslim man to have up to 4 wives and as many slave girls as he could afford, Muhammad's personal sexual appetite was even greater. He wanted 11 wives. And so Allah conveniently gave him a revelation which allowed him to have the number of 11 wives.
But that was just for him personally.
For him only. This revelation was known as privilege above the rest of the faithful.
That is also in the Quran, Surah 38, verse 48. And I don't know whether that's a verse 48 or how you come about saying that.
You know,
it's Surah 38,
I just,
48.
I just now saw that I hadn't seen before, David. It says, privilege above the rest of the
faithful.
You know, they always talk about radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It's faithful Islam. When you do things like this, you're following the Quran, which makes you a faithful Muslim. If you're following what the Quran says, there's nothing radical about it. It's something that's faithful. You're following the teachings of Allah, who says you can mistreat women, you can kill the infidel. And matter of fact, it said, every time Muhammad desired another man's wife or another woman other than his legal wives, he received another revelation that it was going to be okay. In chapter 33 and verse 37. You know, even one of his wives, David, was so bad that one of his wives was only 8 years old when he married her. How sick is that?
Well, it's pretty sick. It is terribly sick, and we're talking about the moral purity and the difference between the Christian religion and that of Islam. And by the way, that 8-year-old girl that he married, by the time that she was 9-year-old, we are told there, according to history, he began having conjugal relations with that 9-year-old girl.
Now, this is not something we're just coming up with. This is stuff that's established in history.
In the Quran.
And in the Quran, you know. But when we look at what takes place there, David, among Muslim men, and David, you can look on TV and you can see how often women are stoned and murdered and killed in the Muslim religion. But when you look at Christianity, the Bible teaches something much, much different. As a matter of fact, the Bible defines as adultery and fornication, debauchery, defines these things as being evil. The Quran defines them as something that is acceptable.
And moral behavior.
And moral behavior. Now, who are we going to believe? We're going to believe the Bible, or we're going to believe what the Quran says? They both can't be right because they teach things that are opposite one from another.
Now, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about the difference between Christianity and the religion of the Muslims, which is Islam. And we have seen some dramatic differences here, and we've just had a question that was asked on the chat box: is the Quran available to the general public? And one of the places that you can go to is the App Store. You can get an app that'll put the Quran on your telephone if you want to read the thing.
I've got an actual hardback copy in my office. So all of these things are verified.
Sure, they
come right out of the Quran.
Sure, they are. They're all verifiable, and like you said just a moment ago, it's not something that we're just drawing out of thin air. This is common knowledge, and once again, I want to reiterate what you mentioned just a moment ago, Tom. We're talking about those faithful Muslims that actually read the Quran and then make the application of the words of the Quran to their life. That makes them faithful. Mm-hmm. Now, the unfaithful portion of them are not making application of the words. They say, well, now that may be what it says, but I don't go by that.
I want to be a Muslim, but yeah, I don't want to live by the Quran.
Exactly. And you can make the same analogy with Christianity.
Yes.
Where there are some people that beat on their chest and point into the air and they say, Jesus, 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 but they won't read the book and make the application to their life. And so they are unfaithful. Howbeit they want to call themselves Christian, they are still unfaithful. The faithful ones are going to do what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do.
You know, and a lot of the Muslims out there pull the same shenanigan that many Christians do. When you look at a verse, it's very clear. They say, well, that's not what it really means.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that. Or they just simply overlook these things. I believe. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
Hi, I'm Josh.
Josh?
And my question is, I don't understand why you go around saying that the Quran has all these bad things and that, like, there's Islam people are bad, but Christians have done terrible things in history too.
Well,
like you said it's ridiculous that Muslims have all these wives. But I've met Muslims that have a girlfriend and just one, and they don't go around. And you say it's crazy, but then in the Bible it says you can't eat shellfish. So why is one crazier than the other?
Well, there's a big difference in morality and a dietary law, for one thing. And under the Old Testament, they had various dietary laws for their protection. But there's a big difference in a dietary law given by God to the Israelites and the authority for the mistreatment of a woman and having four wives and all kinds of concubines. And as a matter of fact, there is also, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight or not, there's also a law that a woman who is raped is going to be, can't bring it forth unless there's five eyewitnesses.
Male
eyewitnesses, you know. And so there's all kinds of things. There's a big difference in the Quran and the Bible, especially when you just look at the moral fabric of the two.
Okay, he mentions that he has a friend that only has a girlfriend. You know, the Quran doesn't say they have to have four wives.
Right.
It says they may have four wives or concubines and all of the other things.
Exactly.
But in terms of moral, didn't Jesus summon a bear to murder children because they made fun of a disabled guy?
No, that was not Jesus. That was Elijah. In the Old Testament. Yeah, they were. But what does that have to do with?
So I'm just saying it's kind of ignorant that you're preaching hate towards a religion when you don't have an expert in there trying to defend it.
Well, in the first place,
like what Donald Trump does.
In the first place,
preaches
hate. We're not preaching hate. We're giving you facts. This comes from their book, not my book. Their book.
But you're fear mongering.
I'm sorry.
You're preaching fear.
Well, we're telling people the truth about what these people believe. That's what this program is about today. About what these people believe.
What about the five pillars?
Of Islam?
Bad.
Now, there's no way that we said that every single word in the Quran is evil and immoral. We did not say that. We're pointing out the portions that are. And if you have portions that are immoral, then what does that say about the tenets of the whole book? It can't be from God. As a matter of fact, Allah is no God. He is a false God. He is a God that was made up a long time ago in the days of Abraham. He is not the God of heaven. Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, is the only true God. Allah is not a God.
Well, have you heard of Osiris, the Egyptian sun god?
Yes, I have. He is not God either.
Do you know when that was written?
It was written back in the days of Abraham.
Bible.
Yeah?
No, it was written before the Bible.
And so, your point
and
is?
And Jesus is almost the exact copy of Osiris' son.
So what does that prove?
What? You tell me.
Well, you brought it up. You brought it up. I want you to tell me what it means, what it proves.
I'm just saying, does it disprove the Bible? Because you're trying to disprove the Quran right now.
Well, we're not trying to disprove the Quran. We're trying to tell you what's in it. I'm sorry?
Say some good stuff about it.
Well, if there was something good to say about it, I would. There's nothing good.
There's nothing good to say about Islam.
I have absolutely nothing good to say about Islam.
Especially
no,
since they're involved in the killing of people who will not abide by their teaching. I don't know how I can say, well, you know, they're going to kill several thousand people, but they're okay after all. How can you say that when they're involved
Christians
in the killing
bomb abortion clinics?
Well, they're wrong too. They're wrong too, and I don't know if they're called.
So why don't you say?
Well, because that's not our topic of the night. I know you may not have listened to us much before. We'll talk about abortion too.
I'm just saying. I feel like if you're gonna say stuff about the Quran, you should be saying some good stuff too.
Well, there's nothing
Islam
good to say. What is good to
there's
say about the Quran?
There's nothing good to say at all.
Going to be a faithful Muslim and you're going to abide by the tenets of the Quran, there is absolutely nothing good to say about humanity there.
You know, I cannot put
There's nothing good to say. They're devoted. They're Christians. Okay?
Oh, they're devoted, all right.
God. They're devoted to the killing of non-Christians. They're devoted to the ill treatment. If they're going to follow the Quran, they are. They're also involved in the mistreatment of women. Have you seen how Muslims treat women? Why would a woman want to be a part of the Muslim religion?
Well, I'm not saying mistreating women is good. I'm just saying not all of it is bad. There's some good stuff there. They're devoted. They help their communities.
But just because you are devoted to something doesn't. I mean, you could be devoted to Satanism. Is there anything that you could say good about Satanism? I mean,
there are a few things I can say that's good about Satanism.
Well, give me one right off the top of your head.
They're open-minded.
Open-minded?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But did you hear about the story about how they made a statue in Detroit, and they were going to place it on the Oklahoma State Building in on the grounds? Okay. They're open-minded in terms of, like, they're not trying to change your mind. And they're saying they want to look at different viewpoints. Unlike Christianity, where if you try to say something's wrong about the Bible, they just go crazy and it's like...
Well, if you can prove something that is wrong from the Bible, I need to know it, Josh. Because you'd be one of my best friends if you told me something that was contradictory in the Bible.
Okay, so why didn't the birth of the Virgin Mary come up in any other books?
What do you mean, why didn't it come up in any other book?
It's only talked about in one book.
What book are you talking about?
The New Testament?
Well, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. I would say that is a major part in Christianity, correct? The birth of the Virgin.
And also it was prophesied in the Old Testament of the virgin birth in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. So it's not just mentioned in one place. I don't think you know very much about
it. It's mentioned in Q.
In what?
But I don't understand why that's not brought up more. That would seem like a big part of
Christianity?
Yeah.
The virgin birth of Christ?
Yeah.
It is a part of Christianity.
Well, I know, but I don't understand why it's not brought up more in the Bible. If that was...
Somebody else is calling.
That's the birth of the Savior.
Yeah, well, I don't know where you think it's not brought up a lot, because I see it brought up a lot in Christianity. So I don't know where you're coming up with that.
Well, it's brought up like twice.
Are you talking about brought up in the Bible twice?
Yeah, yeah.
Well... it's brought up three times, I know, but, you know, that's more to it. There's also the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, you know.
My main point here was, I don't feel it's right that people are fear-mongering and making Muslims have a bad name,
mm-hmm.
when not all are. Because
okay.
there are extremist Christians out there. There's extremists in every religion.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think any of them are right. I'm just saying it's... I feel like it's unfair that you're saying that there's religion is terrible when all religions have dark sides.
Well, I agree that there are bad in all religions. I'll agree with you on that, Josh. Now, Josh, I hate to cut you off, but we're about to run out of time. We appreciate you listening in, and if we talk more about this, we would really like for you to call in and talk more with us about this. And also, Josh, you can also email us, and we can have a conversation that way, too, at questions@harrisonmoore.org. All right. All right.
And Josh, if ever you want to have a Bible study, I'm your guy.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Well, we're about out of time. I know we had another caller on the line, but the time is running short. We want to be sure before we conclude today to mention our additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. We're out of time, David. I think we've had a good program, good calls, and we look forward to discussing this issue in greater detail in other times. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you. you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.